Well, it's so good to be here together with all the saints again. And in everything that was spoken last night, the one thing that became very clear to me, especially with, and I do agree, we should probably revise this title. What is God's will or God's plan, and how will he fulfill it? Not only how he will fulfill it, but how he would fulfill it in us. And this morning, as I was considering before the Lord again in these first two chapters, it is really clear, as was spoken last night, these first two chapters give us a very simple, concise word regarding what is God's plan and how he will fulfill his plan, but not only by himself, but how he would fulfill it with us. And the only way God's plan can be fulfilled really is we have to see who this wonderful Christ is. Mm-hmm. And it's so good, because for me personally, many times when I'm thinking about how to fulfill God's plan, I'm always thinking about in terms of, okay, Lord, how are you going to do it in me first? How are you going to do it? But what I always forget is, I first need to see who the Lord is. I need to see who he is and what he is and what he is doing before I can realize how he would do it in me. And so in getting in and preparing for this conference, especially for these first two chapters, I realize how short we are and how short I am in seeing who Christ is. How has he been qualified? How is he really? So that if we see him and we begin to experience him, and then he can begin to change us. And so this is have been my challenge with the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to just know this as doctrine. I don't want to just have the right teachings. But Lord, I want to have the experience in knowing you in these points. Right? Of course, right off the bat, when you see here, we have to realize Christ is the Son of God. It says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Right? The Lord is the Son of God. We need to realize that he is the one whom the Father has called. You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. And I will be to him a Father, and he shall be to me a Son. Right? If we do not realize that he is the one who is appointed heir over all things, we have to realize he has the inheritance. He is the inheritance. But we need to see this. If we don't see it, then how will we begin to experience and how will we begin to apply it? Right? And then it goes on. And to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has appointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So we also see in God's plan his desire for his kingdom to come upon this earth. And for these past few years, we've been realizing more and more that we're not just here to build the church, but we are really here to bring in God's kingdom, God's authority, God's reigning onto this earth. But we ourselves are not qualified to do this, because we ourselves are not righteous, but we ourselves are lawless. But only Christ, because he is the one who's loved righteousness and have hated lawlessness. He is the one who is faithful and obedient to the Father. He is the one qualified to rule and reign in his kingdom. But it is not him alone as the Son of God reigning in God's kingdom. He wants many men. He wants his brothers. That's why it says, Today I have begotten you to be born. And it's not just to be begotten by himself, but he will be the firstborn into the world. So it's not just it is Christ himself, but it is also together with all of us as his many brethren. Right? So God wants to accomplish his purpose, not just that he himself would accomplish the purpose, but he also would accomplish it through us and with us. Right? So this is why he had to become the Son of Man. And in this area, regarding the Son of Man, this is where I, in the last number of months, I believe, if we don't know Christ as the Son of Man, I don't know how I would be able to get through so many things. With all the different things that we are faced with, the challenges in the church life, challenges in the home life and the family life, without knowing Christ as the Son of Man, the captain of our salvation, then I don't know how I would be able to go on. Because this is the crux. We need to see him as the Son of Man. And I appreciate it in matter of seeing this. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Great. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself had to become a man. And by becoming a man, he put on humanity. He put on the human nature. And in all things, he was made like his brethren. Right? For how can he lead us? How can he be qualified to be the captain of our salvation unless he has become a man? And becoming as a man, then he would be able to, what? For the suffering of death? But then also, it says, in bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Right, so in this matter, all of the things that we go through in our daily life, the Lord has already gone through. He incarnated as a man. So he had to become, and when he became a man, he experienced all of the things that we experienced in our humanity. And many times, a lot of times you might say, you know, when we're going through the challenges, we all will always like to say things like, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the sufferings that I'm dealing with. You're right. I may not know all of the sufferings that you're dealing with. But there is one. There is the man. The Son of Man who already knows everything that we have gone through because he himself has gone through all of this. Amen. And if we don't learn to realize that he has gone through all of this, then we would not turn to him. And so this is where I began to realize more and more. So many areas in my life, I want to turn to him as the Son of Man, as the captain of our salvation. Right? And not only did he experience all that we have gone through in our humanity, but because he was made a man, a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, right? Eventually it says, might taste death for everyone. So he, if he did not become a man, he could not taste death on our behalf. So all of that he went through in his humanity, we have to realize is for us, so that we can begin to partake and we can experience and we can follow the captain of our salvation. But not only that, after living on this earth, when he was put on the cross, on the death of the cross there, we realize, here it says, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Praise the Lord. By his death on the cross, he was able to destroy him who has the power of death, and that is the devil.
Amen.
This death on the cross wasn't only for the forgiveness of our sins, but first and foremost was to destroy the devil and to destroy the power, the one who has the power of death. Mm-hmm. You think about your daily life. How many situations that we're in, you may not be dead, but you are in that death situation. You might be discouraged. You might be depressed. You might be powerless. You might feel like you're powerless, that you cannot overcome. But we have to realize that the Lord has destroyed this one. And in fact, he has what? Released those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So he's even released us from this fear of death. How many times in our daily life do we're put in a situation where we feel like it's so impossible? There's no way out. It's just, I have no more energy to do anything. Right? But praise the Lord, the Son of Man, the captain of our salvation, he has already destroyed him. He has made death of none effect. Death should not affect us in this way. Right? This is the captain of our salvation. And of course, yes, there is the purification of our sins. He was made a propitiation cover. So he has dealt with our sins. Right? But then what? He did not remain there in the grave. Praise the Lord, he arose. He is the firstborn from among the dead. He has the resurrection life within him. Amen. Do we experience his resurrection in our daily life? Especially when there is no life in our mortal body. We're just so tired. How many times have we experienced this resurrection life? When you're taking care of the family, taking care of the children, you're not getting much sleep, and then you have to work. And then there's the church life. But I'm too tired. Where is that resurrection life that raised him from the dead? Right? And raised him to the dead to do what? Not just to stop there to give us life, but then he also ascended to the throne. He ascended to the majesty on high. And it was the one who sat down at the right hand of the majesty on the throne. He is this one. This is the captain of our salvation.
Right? Amen.
He was crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because he was the one faithful to take care of all of God's will and God's purpose. And this is the one that even should be worshipped. Not only worshipped, even by all the angels. What you realize, what we should see here is God himself, when he became this man, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, he was the one who became fully qualified to carry out God's purpose. Yeah. From the time he incarnated as the man to his crucifixion with his resurrection and ascension. Every aspect of what he's done has qualified him to do God's will. And he is the captain of our salvation. Amen. These days, with all that we are faced with, do we ever look to the captain of our salvation? Do we ever look to him? In the sufferings, right? And we're not talking about sufferings, and the sufferings that we're speaking about here is not just, you know, your afflictions at work. It could be the sufferings in the house, in dealing with one another, dealing with our children, dealing with the saints who live in our homes, and in the church life. All of the shaking that is going on in the church life. We feel the suffering. The real question is in the suffering is, what do we do? Do we suffer in vain? Or do we turn to the captain of our salvation and allow this to perfect us? Right, this is why it says, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Are we being perfected in all the sufferings? Is all of the situations, the trials and the tribulations that we go through, is this causing us to be perfected? Are we growing in life and are we maturing? Are we being transformed from glory to glory? This is the captain of our salvation. He wants to lead us all for what? All of the trials and the tribulations is for what? It is ultimately to lead us what? To bring many sons to glory. And for this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. So, it is by the captain of our salvation, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He is the one who not only has accomplished it, but he is also the one who will bring us all, as his many brethren, into glory. That we, together with him, will be able to fulfill God's plan of bringing his kingdom down to this earth. Right? So the only way for us to make it, the only way for us to bring the Lord's, to fulfill God's plan, is that we would see such a Christ who's superior to the angels. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. And he is the captain of our salvation. Right? But as was also spoken last night, in every chapter, there is always some kind of warning, and there is also an encouragement. And so I want to remind you of the warning here. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Today, in the conference, as we get into the book of Hebrews, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So that means when you hear the word, don't just hear the word, take it down in your notes, and then put it away and forget about it. No, we need to take heed, meaning we need to take the word in, take heed to it, obey it, let the word work within us, change us, lest we drift away. There is always the danger of being drifted. There is always that danger of drifting away if we do not take heed. And then it also goes on. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Neglect. What does neglect mean? It's to put it aside. I'll get back to it tomorrow. What are things that we like to neglect in life? Well, right now we're dealing with a lot of things in the house with 14 guests. The simplest things that get neglect would be something as simple as wiping down the water off the sink. If you neglect that, then over time what will happen? That sink will become really dirty, filled with scum. Now, how will it be if we neglect such a great salvation? What will happen to our condition if we neglect such a great salvation? Right, so we cannot. This is a warning. How shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? Such a great salvation. So we should not neglect. But then, also, there is the encouragement. It says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And also verse 16, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Praise the Lord. The captain of our salvation is not here to give aid to the angels, but he is here to give aid to the son of the seeds of Abraham. And today we are the seeds of Abraham. We are the real seed of Abraham. In a sense that we are born of the Spirit. We are children of God. So he is here to give aid to us. And then he himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to aid those who are tempted. So we also, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, we are always tempted, right? When the difficulties come, I know the temptation is to react. Are we going to react? Or will we turn to him
to
aid us in being in that situation. Right. So praise the Lord for his aid to us. May the Lord really show us more to see him as the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the captain of our salvation, who will lead the many brethren, lead all of us into the glory, into his glory, for the accomplishment of his kingdom. Amen. Amen.
I think I'll continue to share something here. My brother was right in saying that God is going to accomplish his purpose only through one way, and that way is a living person, Christ. Without knowing and seeing this Christ, nothing will be fulfilled. It's not by any methods. It's not how much experience you have in the past. It's not even by doctrine. I'm not saying that to know the Bible and having the knowledge is not good, but it's not good enough. And the very focus in the book of Hebrews is to show us who this Christ is and what this Christ is. And of course, if you turn back to this outline, the first portion there is to show us that Christ is God himself. He is nothing less than the very God himself. That's why he is the Son of God. Amen. As God. You know, it's the introduction is God spoke, right? Yes. God spoke in the past. It's not just some teachings, but God speaking. Without God speaking to us, there is no way for us to go on. So the whole Bible actually is the speaking of God. And it says here, God who at various times, in various ways, spoke in a time past to the fathers by the prophets. Right? Which is very good. You can see Moses. Moses is a wonderful prophet. Yeah, Moses is a prophet. And you can see, for example, David. David is also a prophet, not just a king. And you see all the prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, so many major, minor prophets, God spoke through them. Which is very good. It's wonderful. But then it says, in these last days, has spoken to us by his Son. That means it's a very direct speaking. It's a very direct speaking. And today, in the New Covenant age, we need to learn to hear the Son speaking. Amen. You know, but unfortunately, we are still very used to hearing pastors. Every Sunday, man speaking, we hear this and that, and that caused so much trouble. Look at all the division today. Look at so many problems among us Christians. Right? It's because we have not learned to hear the speaking of the Son himself. And the Son is dwelling in you. Right? Where is the Son today? Where is the Lord Jesus today? Freddy? Dwelling in you? What is he doing there? Sleeping? Resting? just dwelling, doing nothing. If I move into your home and dwell with you, what will we be doing every day?
Talking.
Huh?
Talking
to one another, right? It's impossible if I dwell with you and live with you for some time, we don't talk to each other. Is it possible? No, you just came here a few days ago and we talked a lot, right? Yeah, we continue to talk. How come this very wonderful son dwelling in you and he doesn't speak to you? You think it's possible? George, does he speak to you every day? Yes. The problem is that you're not used to it. You don't have an ear to listen. You all need to pray, Lord, give us an ear to hear. And it's not good to be a Christian today, and not only a Christian today, to be in the church life today. And not to hear the speaking of the Lord and His leading and guidance through the Holy Spirit. And I really appreciate the book of Hebrews because it didn't even mention who wrote it.
Right.
It doesn't matter who wrote it because he doesn't care about himself. And it's not his own speaking. He wants to impress all of us that it is the Spirit speaking. You need to learn to hear the speaking of this wonderful Son through the Holy Spirit. And this is why in the very last book of the Bible, it is said so many times, he who has an ear, let him hear what a pastor says. No. What the elders said. What the speaker was talking about. Is it? Are you sure? Do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Today, if you hear His voice, do you hear Him? Right. When you read the Bible, do you hear Him? Or do you just read the black and white? You don't hear Him speaking to you directly. That is why we are so depending on somebody to speak to. My sister always called me there from Toronto. John, you have to come. Come. Come to do what? What do you want me to go there for? What should I do in Toronto? Give a conference? If the Holy Spirit is speaking daily to you, why do you need somebody to come and give a conference? Yeah. Right? Doesn't the Holy Spirit speak to you? It should be very normal. So the Hebrews began to talk about, right in the very beginning, God spoke. Our God is a speaking God. Today we are not living in the times past, in the age of the Old Covenant, where God spoke through different prophets, right? Today, you all need to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit indwelling you to speak to you. Did not the Holy Spirit within you tell you so many things? Stop doing that. Don't say this, right? Don't go there. Stop. Or do this. Right? Even in little things, the Holy Spirit speaks. But of course, if you don't learn to listen to His voice in little things, how can the Lord show you greater things? Right? Even concerning money or spending your money, the Lord said a very simple verse. If you are not faithful, even in managing as a steward, the little things, meaning to say the money that is, what? entrusted to you, how can then people entrust you with greater things? That is a principle there. If in your daily living you are not faithful to listen to the speaking of the Lord, you don't pay attention. Or like our brother stressed the word neglect, you neglect his speaking. Yeah, and you have to realize his speaking to you is salvation to you, okay? If he doesn't speak to you, you have no salvation. Don't react. Oh, you still want to react. Turn to me. You don't want to turn to him. Stop and come to the Word and spend time to pray with me. You don't hear that. You don't hear that. So if we do not learn to listen to the Lord in his speaking, in many small things, and you want to understand his will, the greater things, the heavenly things, the spiritual things, God's divine purpose, you won't hear anything, I tell you. I guarantee you, you will not hear anything. Then you're going to hear all kinds of gossip. Right? Wow, do you know what happened? You're all ears. Oh, yeah. Really? Wow, what happened to John Stowe? Oh, and you believe. You believe all the junk, but you do not hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit. Sorry. What we need to do today is to learn to hear the speaking of the Spirit. Not only in the Bible, but daily. Because the Spirit is very practical. The Holy Spirit is a speaking Spirit. This point, it has to be wrought into your heart. That is why the writer of Hebrews did not say, I say to you, I write this to you and all that. No. But he says, the Holy Spirit speaks. God speaks. It is the Son today speaking to you. Without that, I don't know where you're going to end up. Listening to men all the time. Listening to gossip all the time. Listening to junk all the time. Men's opinion all the time. At the end, you don't know what is right anymore. You don't know where to go, what direction, what God wants at the end of you. You don't know. Because no man, and when I say that, I really meant it, is qualified to lead you into glory. No man. Are you there today? Freddy? Huh? Tell me the truth. Are you there? You haven't arrived yet. Are you going to lead me there? You can't? Why not? Because you yourself are not even there yet. Are you going to lead me there? Which one of you have been there before? Have you been there, George? No? How about you? David? No one, really? Oh, Brother David here. Oh, I've been in the church life for so many years now. Please, lead me there.
No way.
No way. There is only one who has been there now. So he's very qualified. And he's the captain. Not the elders. The elders are not your captain. Okay? Not any speaker, great speaker, blah, blah, blah. Forget about it. Right. In Singapore, there was a very big mega church, over 20-some thousand believers. A preacher, a gospel of prosperity. At the end, all six of the directors landed in jail. That's where they're going to lead you. You follow them, you will end up in prison.
Yes, the worst prison.
The worst prison. And there is a worse prison. Don't follow men. And I meant it in a good way. Right. But generally speaking, we only have one captain. And only he can lead you into glory. This is the focus. And whatever God wanted to accomplish with mankind, especially the seed of Abraham, why did he not just mention, okay, he did not aid the angels, he aid men? Because it's not just any man that he was going to aid to bring help, but to the seed of Abraham, those who have the faith of our father Abraham. God will lead them to glory. Right. So the Lord was very specific there. And whatever God wants accomplished with us, he firstly accomplished in his Son Jesus Christ. So if you go back and come back to this outline, you have to see how great our Christ is, because he's the very God himself. Look what it says here, through whom God made the worlds. The whole universe was made by the Lord, by Christ. Yeah. As God, who was with God from the very beginning, before his incarnation. And who upholds all things by the word of his power. Do you know why this earth is still existing today? Why did it fall apart? Why is it still intact, although we try to destroy it with all the pollution and everything? Why is this world still livable? You know why? Because of science. Who was holding it together? You have to see, Christ was holding it together. Can you hold this universe together? How about we give the responsibility to you, George? Try to hold this universe together. Can you do it? Well, try it. I'll give you 10 years. Maybe you can do it. I'll give you 50 years. You won't even try. And now try to hold the church together. Oh, no. He says, oh, no. I've seen so many people who tried to hold the church together. You know, recently, people, John, why don't you do something? I say, well, I'm almighty, you know. What can I do? And tell me. Oh, why don't you do it for me? Oh, no, no, I can't do anything. Neither can I. If you cannot, how can I? Am I more capable than you? Can you hold the church together? So, just let it fall apart, right? No. Why not? Because there is one who holds things together. He is the one responsible. Let him hold things together.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You know, we always thought we can have solution to everything, right, Pim? You have a solution? Maybe for earthly things you have a few solutions. But let me tell you, with regard to holding the universe together, you don't even have one single tiny solution, I tell you. You have to know this Christ, who is so great and powerful, who is God himself. You don't trust in God. Who do you want to trust? Let's trust in Christian. How about that? Oh, he is a strong brother. Let's trust in him. We put our trust in him. And with George, and two Georges. And we got two Davids and one Peter. And Moses. Of course. Let them hold things together. You think they can make it? You know, we're laughing today and this morning. But when problem comes in our real practice of the church life, that's what we do. We trust in man. Somebody says, I am responsible for the church. Who is responsible for the church? You, Sam? Who is responsible for the church in Fountain Valley? No, but you're the elder. Aren't you? Aren't you a responsible brother? You're called a responsible brother, right? Plus this responsible brother, plus where else are the responsible brothers? And I'm the assistant responsible brother. How about that? You know, I've seen so many responsible brothers become irresponsible brothers. Because they change. You change, I change. Only one person didn't change and did not need any change. Who is that?
Christ.
So, who are you going to trust?
Christ.
Changeable George or the unchangeable Christ? And believe me, and the Word of God, God only trusts one person.
Amen.
He doesn't trust anybody else. Because not because we are not trustworthy, because we're just incapable. Fallen. So, who are we going to trust? Right? Oh, 40-some years ago, we trust one man. We thought, wow, he is going to lead us into glory. For goodness sake, I don't know where he was going to lead us. Nobody, no one is capable to lead us into glory, to accomplish God's purpose. That's why it's written, what is man that you're mindful of him? It is really wonderful. Let us read here. Let us read you in chapter 2, verse 5. I like this verse here because it says, He has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels. Hey, Toby, when you read this verse, what do you think? What is the world to come? This age and the coming age and the eternal age. That means in the past it was in subjection to angels. But angels failed. And even the archangel became Satan. Oh, what a perfect... I was using the word just perfect, but beautiful. Almost close to perfect, full of wisdom. And wow. He failed. Are you more glorious and more wonderful than the archangel Lucifer? Are you? In wisdom, can you compare to him? Nothing. In beauty? He failed. So, what about you and me? So, today, this world and the coming world, the coming age, even in our age, the world is still in the hands of the evil one, Satan. We are in the age that is going to be going through a transitional period to gain the power and the authority and the rule of this earth. A way to take it away from Satan and to replace him. We.
Amen.
But we don't see it yet. Right? Do you see it now? Are you in control of this world? Who is in control of this world today? Are you? Can you change the politics? Can you rule now? Are you in control? Now tell me, who is in control today? Actually, it is Christ now on the throne, but why is he not really manifesting his rule? Because he's waiting for us. Mm-hmm. So today, it is still in the hands of the evil one. That's why you see so much problem on this earth today. Terrible things, right? But God's plan is to subject this world, not to the angels, but to whom? To man. But can man do it? How about Europe? How about Asia, full of corruption, right? Look at Greece. Bankrupt. Right? Middle East. It's a big mess. The whole world is in a big mess. But who do we see today? Right. But one testified in a certain place saying, "What is man that you're mindful of him?" Meaning to say, you've chosen him. You've appointed him. Even before the foundation of the world. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, "And you made him according to the flesh a little lower than the angels." But you're going to crown man with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands, and you put all things in subjection under his feet. Right? And then it says, "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him." Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy you're a man? Or do you prefer to be an angel? Angel Muchang.
Better not.
Well, because there's not much future. Angels are only servants. But now we do not yet see all things put under man. Do you see all things put under man? No. Not now. But there is a but. But we see what?
Jesus.
We see Jesus. Now what do you see in Jesus? Just a savior to save you? What do you see in this man Jesus? And this is why Jesus has to become a man. Not just God, because God's purpose is to let man rule the world. But man fell. Yeah, man fell. And sided with Satan. So, this is why you need to see Jesus, not just as a savior, but as the one, as a man in whom God has accomplished his purpose. Jesus sitting on the throne today, far above all, crowned with honor and glory, he is the fulfillment of what God has really planned for us. Actually, we should be, if man has not been fallen, right? We should be where he is today. But we can't. Can you? Can you rule? No. Are you crowned with glory and honor? No, you're not. Are you perfect? Sinless? No. Can you hold things together? You cannot even sometimes hold your life together, right? Yeah? Can you even hold your life together? Lorraine? You sure? So who's holding everything together now? For God's plan, we see Jesus.
Amen.
Such a wonderful Jesus. As a man. Not as God. Although he is also God. He is a God-man. He's the only one who is both God. God and man, okay? But it was in his capacity as a man that he's fulfilling God's purpose today for you and me. And, of course, to fulfill God's plan. And this is what chapters 1 and 2 is all about. That's why we don't appreciate the angels. The angels are only ministering spirits to serve us. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than an angel in his incarnation as a man. But then, for the suffering of death, he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every one of us here, for man. Right. Then it says, for it was fitting for God. Fitting, it was fitting means it was fully according to God's plan and purpose. This is what that word actually was indicating. It was fitting for God. It fits his very purpose. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, by making the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And that is why God's work in Christ Jesus was really perfect. From the day he was born until the day he ascended, everything God did through this man Jesus Christ, through all of his sufferings, was perfect. It is to perfect that captain for us. So who are you going to trust today to build the church? Who is capable? Are you the captain? Co-captain, maybe? Are you the co-pilot? Are you what? Are you his assistant? His deputies? He's absent today and you're present, right? Who says he's absent, right? Nobody else is qualified. I didn't live 7,000 years, no, but at least over 70 years. And what I've seen until this very day is that no one is qualified. And this wonderful book of Hebrews is telling us only one is qualified. Is capable of bringing us into glory. And if we today in the church life, we do not trust him, we want to trust other things and other people and other methods. Oh, Christ is not very practical. You know, if one day you're going to find out Christ, you cannot see him, you cannot hear him, he's not qualified. But me, oh yeah, you see me, right? Oh, you see me, right? Can you hear me? Oh yeah, right? Not bad, right? Trust me. Trust me. People like to say, trust me. If the more people tell you to trust him, the more you should not trust him. Somebody says, trust me, you should say, no. But I trust Christ.
Amen.
Because he is the only one that can bring you to perfection.
Amen.
That can bring you into glory, that can bring you to where he is today, because he's already there. He made it. Have you met anyone who has made it? There's only one. Amen. And if you really grasp this point, to see that as God, he made everything. And he's the one holding everything. And he's going to be the heir of all things, okay? For us. And that is why later, at the very end, when all things is done, we'll be co-heirs with Christ. And we are co-heirs with Christ. You cannot inherit by yourself. You can only inherit with him. You can only be a co-heir with him. You cannot be just kings, but you can be co-kings with him. Because if God has not perfected and accomplished everything through this Christ, then we are nothing. So today, it all depends whether you're going to put your full confidence and trust in him or not. If you do, you make it. If you put in your trust and confidence in something else, you are not going to make it. So right here in this first two chapters, as the introduction here in the book of Hebrews, God wants to make sure you know this very Christ. Because there is no other person and there is no other way. Right. There are many other points here, but you can read the outline yourself. Learn to know him. Tell him, Lord, I want to know you. Daily, in my experience, in reading the Bible, when I pray in the fellowship with you, help me to hear your voice. Amen. Speak to me, O God. Every night before you go to bed and fell asleep, tell God, tell the Lord, speak to me. Amen. I want to hear you speaking.
Amen.
His speaking is very practical. You should hear him. Right, because God speaks to us today in and through his Son, and it is by the Holy Spirit. Learn this, and the Lord will lead us day by day. That is your only safeguard. I don't know of any other safeguard and any other way, any other security for you to reach the goal. Right. Yes, we need fellowship with one another, but without him, what fellowship? For many, fellowship is just sitting down and discuss and talk and argue. That's not fellowship. No, fellowship is to partake of this wonderful God. Remember what John said, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, which is this fellowship is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So, he says, hey, Stephen, let's have some fellowship. Don't use that word so loosely. You can say, oh, let's talk. Yeah, that's fine. But if you say, let's fellowship, well, then you give me Christ. And I give you Christ. And let's all come to the throne to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. That means we partake of him. So, this is chapter 1, right? And 2. May the Lord open our eyes to see.
Amen.
And touch us. Give us such a desire. A desire to hear his speaking.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.